There's a misconception that you need to see the spirit realm to interact with it. On an unconscious level, you interact with it every day. When you encounter that world, you discover there are beings, names, powers, keys, territories, postures, languages, dignitaries, their laws. Every activity you do strikes a chord in time, but the activities linked to your call that strike a chord in eternity.
From the books of old and the new, the throne room of God and the divine secrets of the spirit, higher dimensions, near-death experiences, the spiritual realm, dreams and visions, plus much more. The RDM podcast explores it all and awakens you to secrets and deeper realms. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Daniel Malinga.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of the RDM podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Malinga. As usual, I'm not alone in the studio. I have some companions. Say hello.
Hello, people. Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're going to be going into some really interesting stuff. Last time we talked about the vastness of the spirit realm. Today we're going to be looking at the reality of the spirit realm. I hope you're excited as I am. Let's get it on. All right. We are going to go into some really interesting stuff, and I want to continue from where we stopped last time in the first episode. If you haven't listened to the first episode, I encourage you to do so that you can understand where we're coming from. We're going to be looking at the reality of the spirit realm. Most people today don't seem to understand the extent to which the invisible realm influences them. They don't seem to get that it actually affects them even beyond their capacity to be aware of it. I'm going to ask Eric to read for me 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, because it's going to be the foundation of what we're going to discuss today.
1 Corinthians 2:14, it says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit."
Thank you, Eric. You see, that scripture says that spiritual things are actually discerned by people who are spiritual. Natural men can't understand them, and that's where the limitation is. And that's why we emphasize that you need to tap into the spirit. You need to be awakened to your spiritual self in order to understand certain things, that, especially the things that I'm going to explain right now. There is, in the Bible, a law that is implied. It's called the law of duality. I call it the law of duality. I take it from the book of Matthew where Jesus said, he says, "Thy kingdom come." He's praying, and he says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That is the law of duality. In other words, there are things that are done on earth as they are done in heaven. To bring God's will fully here on earth is the law of duality. To make things on earth exactly as they are in heaven. So what that actually means is that in the spirit realm, things first precede, things precede themselves first in the realm of the spirit, and then they find their manifestations in the natural. However, there is a certain place where things on earth are done, and they influence things in the spirit. So, for example, Jesus said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loosen on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, contrary to common belief, that scripture has nothing to do with demons. It has to do with what they call spiritual contracts. And we shall touch that. I promise we shall touch that, because that's a whole other discussion. But the law of duality actually says that there are things in the spirit that existed and their counterparts exist here on earth. And then there are things, even though they don't currently exist, you can bring them onto earth by tapping into something in the spirit. That's the law of duality. So Ezekiel 28, read it for me.
Ezekiel 28, it says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God."
That's from verse 13 to 14. Eh?
Yes, okay, verse 13 to 14. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. Cornelian, chrysolite and emerald, topaz, onyx and jasper, lapis, lazuli, turquoise and beryl. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. 14 says, you were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones.
Okay, thank you. You see, that the first scripture already says you are in Eden, the garden of God. Now we know that when Lucifer was brought down, he wasn't on earth. In order to be brought down, he had to be somewhere other than earth. And scripture says you were in Eden. And this happened before the creation of Adam. Okay? And yet there was also a garden of Eden on earth. The law of duality. Okay? The first existed a garden in the spirit. And then it was implemented here on earth to replicate it. In the same way, just like in heaven, just like here on earth, there are rivers. In the spirit realm, in the heaven, these are rivers. Okay? But the difference is this. There are things, there are elements that we were borrowed from the spirit realm and brought here on earth. Elements that were borrowed. And I've said this to people who have had me teach on numerous occasions. I've explained it. Some elements were borrowed from the spirit realm and they became permanent on earth. Some people, when they look at the earth, they think that these things were created first on earth, but they existed long before the earth came into existence. And so we borrowed them. For example, water. Water was borrowed from the spirit realm. Its home is not necessarily earth, but there's a difference between the water on earth and the water in the realm of the spirit or in the heavenlies. Our water, you know, H2O, has oxygen in it. There's no need for oxygen in the heavenlies. Okay? The water there is different. If you read the scriptures, the Bible says before the throne of God, there is a sea of glass. The Bible talks about a river of life. It gives implications of water, but I can bet you it's not the same water that we know. So water was an element that existed in the spirit realm and was borrowed by us here on this earth. Okay? Then there is light. Light is another element that was borrowed from the spirit realm and we use here on earth. Now, it's interesting because on earth, light is primarily for dispelling darkness. But in the spirit realm, light is more than just the dispelling of darkness. Jesus says in the book of John, he said, the Bible refers to him. It says, he was the light and that light was the life of men. Oh, is it the reverse? It says, he was the life and that life was the light of men. That's it. And so there's a link between life and light in the Bible. There's a link. So light is not just the expelling of darkness. Light in the realm of the spirit is similar to life. Where there is light, there is life. It also has a connection with the expulsion of ignorance, the opening of eyes, revelation. Okay? So light in the spirit existed and we borrowed it. Fire in the spirit realm existed. We borrowed it here on this earth. Read for me Genesis, is it? Judges chapter 6 verse 21.
Judges 6, 21. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared.
Okay. Now this is interesting because fire for us here is primarily for what? For warming, cooking. But in the spirit, you just read this. Judges 6:21 actually emphasizes that there was an angel that appeared to a man. Okay. Then it disappears within the fire. That means fire can be a portal. It's the reason why occultic people, when they do their things at night, they light fires. They're portals for spirits. If you read through scripture, the Bible says that when Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego are thrown into the fire, a fourth man shows up. Where did he pass? He didn't just show up. Fire is a portal. And people who are aware of spiritual things know of a use of fire beyond what natural men understand of it. Then sound was borrowed from the spirit realm. Wind was borrowed from the spirit realm. Words, especially languages, were borrowed from the spirit realm. And if you've heard me consistently say this, that words are primarily for creation and not just for communication. Okay? But language, especially when I'm talking about words, languages were borrowed from the spirit realm. The spirit realm has a language of its own. Various languages, but each different. So, for example, sacrifice is a language of the spirit. Okay?
Sure.
If you have an altar to a spiritual man, as long as an altar has no sacrifice on it, it can't speak. An altar comes to life the moment a sacrifice is put onto it. So sacrifice is a language of the spirit realm. Okay? If you go to Daniel chapter 5, read for me Daniel chapter 5.
Daniel 5. Suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. Verse 6. His face turned pale and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. 7 says, the king summoned the enchanters, the astrologers, and the diviners. Then he said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. 8. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant.
Okay, thank you. Now, we're discussing the reality of the spirit realm. I'm going to get to this scripture that was read. But we need to understand that a lot of the things that happen from the realm of the spirit affect men in a way that most of them don't even realize. Heaven's inhabitants are real. Or should I say the spirit realm's inhabitants are real. Its effects on earth are real. Many discoveries on earth are because of the unseen influence of the spirit realm. So read for me Genesis 4, 17 to 22.
Genesis 4, 17, 22. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city and named it after his son Enoch. 18. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methusel, and Methuselah was the father of Lamech. Verse 19 says, Lamech married two women, one named Adah and the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jubal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. Verse 21, his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play stringed instruments and pipes. Verse 22, Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah.
Okay, thank you. Now, this scripture that we've just read is really interesting to me, because when I read it, first of all, I began to realize that this is after Cain has killed his brother, Abel. God sends him away. Okay? He leaves the garden. And he doesn't leave the garden, actually. He leaves his father and mother, goes off, and the Bible says he goes to start a city. He has a son. The name of that son is Enoch. And he names the city Enoch. Enoch means teach.
Okay.
All right? Now, if you read through the scriptures that we've just read and you go on up to the end, you begin to realize that some of the sons, some of the children of Cain are similar to some of the children in name to some of the children of Seth. There's an Enoch, there's an Enoch. There's a Methuselah. Genesis chapter 5, in the lineage of Seth, in the lineage of Cain, there's a Methusael. There's a Lamech. Okay? In both. So you begin to realize there's a replication, but there's a reason for that. I won't go into that right now. But what I'm trying to bring out is this, that when I studied this, I began to realize that in Genesis chapter 4, from the verses that we've read, that the children of Cain were the fathers of particular things and knowledges that came onto this earth, absent of God. You understand? Mm. So they say, the scripture says that one was the father of tents.
Yes.
It says another one was the father of iron. Okay? And so on and so forth. I think that was Tubal-Cain. And so you begin to realize that there's a knowledge that these guys had the grasp that came onto the face of this earth, but the Bible doesn't seem to tell us exactly how it came onto the face of this earth, but it came. And so there's a knowledge that we have. Many people live on this earth, but they don't seem to realize that there are things that we take for granted. Things like smeltering, or things like tent making, had their origin. There's a knowledge that came to the people, the first people mentioned in scripture, that came to them from another world. And you see, the elaboration of this comes from the book of Enoch, if you get time to read about it. And in Genesis chapter 6, it gives an implication of it, that these angels came, had intercourse with the daughters of men. When they had intercourse with the daughters of men, they gave birth to these giants. Those giants were the heroes of that day, but they spread knowledge from the spirit realm to men before its time. So there's the specific realms of knowledge that fell onto this earth because spirits brought them. But there's also a decree in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 by God. It says, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. It's a decree by God. In other words, every invention that you hear on this earth, every single new medical discovery is not because men are wise, but it's because the spirit realm, there was a decree by a king that knowledge shall increase. If that decree did not exist, men would not be able to discover the things that they do. And I want to assure you, because some people think that when certain levels of discoveries are released to human beings at a particular time here on earth, for example, when they announce a new form of fuel, we think that they've announced it, that at the time they've announced it is when they've discovered it. But that knowledge has been around and secret by specific people for a reason, and released at the time that it has been released for a reason. There are people on the face of this earth that carry secret knowledge from the spirit realm. Some of them given to them by demons, others given to them divinely by God, and released at strategic moments for strategic purposes. Okay? So in other words, I'm trying to bring out the point that there's a lot on our earth that is a reality but has been affected by the things in the spirit. And people need to realize that. Which brings me back to the scripture we read of Daniel chapter 5 about languages. The Bible says a hand appears, right, and begins to write on the wall. First question, remember the last episode we were talking about dimensions. Where did that hand appear from? Okay? The Bible says the king looks and a hand appears and begins to write on the wall. Now, when it writes on the wall, this is the interesting thing. I'm going to ask you to read verse 6.
Verse 6. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak and his knees were knocking. Daniel 5, 6.
Okay. Now, the king sees a hand writing on the wall and he becomes weak, pale. Then later, according to scripture, he calls for his magicians and soothsayers and all these guys, and he says two things. Two major things that stand out for me. One, he says, whoever can read this writing, then two, and interpret it. Then he gives examples of rewards that he will give. That means the language which was written on that wall did not exist on this earth. Are you understanding me? Yes. Otherwise, the king would not have said, whoever can read it.
True.
And that time, the soothsayers and all these magicians, they were trained in all languages of the earth. They had to be knowledgeable because their king could ask them for anything. So they had to be knowledgeable. But the Bible says, it goes on to read, and we read the scriptures. It says the soothsayers came, the magicians came, and they could not read, let alone understand it. They could not read the writing because it was in another language altogether. I can tell you, the spirit from their languages. Have you ever heard of dead languages? There are languages that are dead from a historical perspective. Latin is a dead language. Okay? Ancient Greek is a dead language. Alright? Ancient Hebrew is a dead language. Aramaic is a dead language. You understand? Now, we call them dead languages because men no longer use them. Alright? Now, from the time of Adam, if you read through scripture, Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, there's a language that they spoke with God before they fell. It's a secret, hidden language. It's not the language, any of the languages that we have now. There's a language that Adam and Eve spoke with God in the Garden of Eden before the fall. All right? And that language is not Hebrew. It's not Hebrew. You see, the Bible says that the world spoke one language until the Tower of Babel, when God divided men and they began to speak different languages. As, let me tell you this, the farther we go from Adam, the weaker men become in terms of spiritual connection. Because take, for example, Cain, after killing Abel, was still able to hear God. God comes to him and says, where's your brother? Okay? Because at that time, even though men had fallen, the connection to the spirit was still strong. All right? The farther, the more generations that have been piled on, the weaker men have become in terms of connecting to the spirit. That's why we need to work out our salvation. You need to work spiritual things to connect again. You need to be serious, very serious with them. Now, I said the farther you go away, men have become weaker in terms of spiritual things, but even language has become weaker. English is a weak language.
Sure.
It can't express things fully. Okay? So, in the book of Daniel chapter 5, the words that were written were mene, mene, tekel, apharsin. Now, those are just four words. But soothsayers and magicians could not read them. That's one. Number two, Daniel comes. If you read for me verse 25 of that scripture. Daniel 5, 25.
It says, this is the inscription that was written. Mene, mene, tekel,
frisin. Verse 25, eh?
That's verse 25.
Okay. Okay. Now, here's the interesting thing. So, it's a hand has written on the wall in a language. Daniel interprets. First of all, he reads it. Second, he interprets it. And he tells us what each of those words mean. Now, the interesting thing is that one word means a lot of things. You understand?
Yeah.
Part where he says, tekel, you have been weighed and found wanting. Okay? That's just the word tekel. Okay? You understand? So, I'm trying to bring out the point that there are languages in the spirit realm, okay? There are languages even in the times of old in the Bible that men used that were strong not only in emotion but expression. They were spiritual languages. Why? Because they had a strong link to the original language that Adam spoke inside the garden. Are you with me? Now, that's the reason why, I don't know if you watch, I'm going to use examples of movies. It's the reason why when guys in movies or under people who actually do this on the face of this earth, they are occultists. When they are doing their witchcraft or sorcery, they don't do it in English. So, most of them, especially the stronger ones, don't do it in their home languages. They will either go into Latin, ancient Greek, ancient Hebrew, Aramaic, or any other language. Languages that are closer to the old language. You get what I'm saying?
Mm.
Because there were portals that were used to open, there were languages that were used to open portals back those days. And in order to open, to reopen portals, the same portals, you have to use the same fallen language. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The same ancient language. Now, It's the reason why there are artifacts that archaeologists have found on the face of this earth that they've discovered that are written in languages they cannot understand, they can't read, and they can't even interpret. I want to submit to you that some of those languages did not originate from men. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
They did not originate from men. Now, when it comes to the spirit realm, that's why, in order to connect to the most powerful things of God in the realm of the spirit, tongues is important. Okay? Because tongues is a language of the spirit. It expresses things in a way that English would not be able to. Are you with me? A person can say ba 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 tongues. And to you, they're saying the same word, but in the spirit, each time they say it, it's meaning something different. That's the power of tongues. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? So there are secrets and mysteries that men have kept to themselves They control the masses by keeping certain things to themselves. One of them is languages. Okay? So I said languages and other things were borrowed from the spirit realm onto the face of this earth. Now, I want to share with you an experience that I had. In 2017, I had an experience. I had gone home. I was with my siblings, my family, my father, my mother. It was a Sunday. It must have been the month of May, if I remember correctly. We were seated around the table. It was around 8 p.m. And we had this culture as a family that every Sunday would come together, pray together, and speak into the week. So we would start by singing some songs. And as we were singing, my mother loved hymns. As we were singing hymns, suddenly all of us began to smell rotten fish. Okay? Mm-hmm. At first I thought I was the only one who could smell it. But when I turned around, you could see on the faces of people that everyone, you know, could smell this odor. So there was a desire to investigate where this smell was coming from. So we put the prayer on hold for a few minutes and we started to search the house because this smell came out of nowhere. It was a really bad smell, rotten fish. And so we looked everywhere and failed to find it. It's at that time as we decided, okay, fine, it will probably disappear over time. We got back to the table to pray. And as we began to sing, the Spirit of the Lord told me, what you're smelling is not from this realm. Now, the interesting thing is that at that point, I began to realize, yes, number one, we were smelling an odor from the spirit realm. Okay? And number two, it was a rare occasion, but it happens, where the senses of everyone, irrespective of how aware and awakened their spiritual realm, their spirit man is, all their senses were open. Everyone's senses in the room were open to smell this thing. Especially spiritual senses were open to smell these things. I don't have the most spiritual brothers. Okay? They're as Kano comes. But everyone was smelling it. So there can come a time in our lives where we could be focusing on something else totally. And something spirit is in the atmosphere and our senses open without our permission. It's very, very possible. Now, here's the interesting thing. As we sat around the table that day, and the Lord whispered this to me and said, what you're smelling is from the spirit. I then began to realize that I began to pray in tongues. No one else in my family prays in tongues. I began to pray in tongues silently as they're singing hymns. And then I felt a prompting to turn because we were praying from the dining room. And I turned towards the living room. And I saw a demon. And the demon was angry. It was full of rage. And I'll never forget that day because we're talking about the reality of the spirit realm.
So,
this demon, as we were worshiping, no one else could see it except me. It was huge, tall, dark. And it took one arm and hit the ceiling. And everyone who was in that house can testify of this, although they might not have seen it, but they saw the effect. Part of the ceiling, the plaster of the ceiling, fell. Till this very day, you can go to my home where my parents stay, you'd find that plaster still empty. And I've never told them this, by the way. But just imagine, a spirit was in the room, and it's the reason why all of us were smelling rotten fish.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
These spirits carry odors. Okay? In the same way angelic beings carry odors. You can smell perfume, you can smell something in the room, and you think it's natural. But it's not. It's coming from another realm. Okay? Now, the reason why I'm bringing this out is because we're talking about the reality of the spirit realm. And we're saying that there are people out there who, like me, have had experiences they cannot explain. You're walking down the road, and you see someone at the corner of your eye. Or you're alone in a room and you hear someone calling your name. Okay? Or you could swear you saw someone pass right by you. or you felt someone touch you. Have you ever done this? We used to do this at school, and I can assure you it's true. Many people have experienced it. If you look at someone whose back is turned and look at them intently, they will turn. Almost like they know that you're looking at them. Okay? That's why even from the realm of the spirit, let me tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, if you're listening to me, there's never been a moment where any human being born by a woman, because there's some, we leave that, any human being born of a woman, including Jesus Christ, there's never been a moment on the face of this earth where they can say that they were alone. You have never been alone. Not a single moment in your life. Not a single one. There are silent listeners to every conversation, uninvited guests to every event. They're there. That's why sometimes when you feel someone watching you, there actually is. Because if I can look at someone's back in the natural realm, and they feel I'm watching them and they turn, what about if something spirit is watching you? Because you're a spiritual man, you can sense when things are around you. Okay? Recently, I sat down with an 8-year-old. Blew my mind. 8-year-old girl, she's in P3. The mother reached out to me, and I meet people like this on occasion, frequently. This young girl was, the mother said she constantly talks to invisible people. All right? Now, children have a high levels of imagination, okay? Some people would say, but not all that your children see, feel, or talk to, not all of that is just imagination. They actually see into the realm of the spirit. Why? Because they're still innocent. Innocent in the sense that, logic hasn't come in. Okay? Now, this 8-year-old, the mother tells me she speaks to invisible people. And I tell her, okay, fine, bring the child, let's have a talk. So we sit down, I sit down with this 8-year-old girl. And at first, I'm taking things casually because, well, she's an 8-year-old girl. I start to ask her, so tell me about these things that you talk to and these things that you see. So she tells me, now because she's young, she doesn't know, her language is not well formed. So what one would call a demon, she calls a shadow. Okay? At least angels, she understands. So she has encounters with angels. She has encounters with shadows. She calls them shadows. So as I'm talking to her, after about 15 minutes of talking to her, I start to take her seriously now. Because she talks to an invisible person and then tells you something secret in your life that only you would have known. 8-year-old. I sat with this girl. My intention was to sit with her for about 30 minutes and then go on and do other things. I sat with her for 3 hours. Okay? Now, if you're listening to me, listen to me carefully. I've said this on numerous occasions. Children see things in the spirit as well as animals. Animals see things in the spirit. You could have a cat in the house. And out of the blue, it's just sleeping on a couch. And out of the blue, it just, you know? And you ask yourself, what? What happened? You know? Because animals and children, especially children, have an ability because of that innocence, to connect to the spirit realm. When a child wakes up in the middle of the night and says, there's something under my bed, I'm going to encourage you. If you're a Christian parent, learn to do this. Never tell that child, these things don't exist, there's nothing there. Because what you're doing is that you're slowly killing their connection to the spirit world. And that's why many of us have to struggle all over again to try to connect to spirit. Because most of the things that we thought were imagination, some of those people we used to talk to when we were young, that no one else could see, they told us that was just our imagination. And because that was just because we were told that, slowly that creative aspect of us, that connection began to die. You with me? And so, what the thing you should do to a child is For example, when a child says, there's something under my bed, always use the name of Jesus. Tell them that the next time this thing shows up, say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. What you're doing there is two things. You're showing the authority that they have through Christ Jesus, but secondly, you're showing that there's a spirit realm that exists. Many parents have killed that imaginative world by declaring that these things don't exist. Are you with me? You see, the spirit realm is, like, we're talking about the reality of the spirit realm. So all of us are affected by it on numerous occasions. We are. Remember the last episode we talked about the vastness of the spirit realm. And we talked about dimensions, higher and lower dimensions. We talked about timelines. We talked about inhabitants in the spirit realm. There are inhabitants in the spirit realm. And I explained them. I said some, the angels, the demons. We talked about spirits of men, both alive, people who are currently on earth, but their spirits are active in the spirit realm, and people who died and entered the spirit realm. Okay? Are you with me? So, the inhabitants in the spirit realm. I discovered something when I was reading the Bible. Two of my favorite chapters are in the book of Revelations. Okay? In the book of Revelations, I'm going to ask you to read Revelations chapter 2. Actually, before you read it, in the book of Revelations, there are, if you read Revelations chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you go on, chapter 8, the Bible says that John is taken up to, into the spirit realm. When he's taken up into the spirit realm, one of, amongst the many things he sees a throne. I love that chapter. Okay? That's Revelation chapter 4. He sees a throne, and upon the throne is seated a being. But then he says that there are 24 elders seated around the throne. Now, the reason why this particular thing stands out for me is because many people before John in the Bible had experiences where they were taken to the spirit realm and they saw things. Okay? Isaiah, for example, Isaiah chapter 6 is taken up to the spirit realm and he sees God seated on the throne. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated upon his throne and his glory filled the temple. But he doesn't mention 24 elders. Does he?
No,
he doesn't. Moses, we know, had an experience where he was taken up to heaven, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 3 that God told him to make the tabernacle according to the pattern that was shown him in heaven. The only way he could have made the tabernacle is if he had an experience where he saw something in heaven. Okay? But we know the tabernacle, it had these angels, it was supposed to symbolize the throne of God, okay, the presence of God, but nothing to do with 24 elders. You with me?
Yes.
In Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, you're not going to read it, In the book of Daniel, chapter 7, if you read on, the Bible says, it's specific. It's Daniel is taken up into the spirit realm. And scripture says, he says that he saw thrones being set up. Okay?
Yes.
So he sees God on the throne and he sees thrones set up. But we don't know who those thrones are for until John is taken up and he says he sees now 24 elders. Okay? Seated on thrones. You're with me? Now, there are doors in the realm of the spirit. When people enter the spirit realm, they enter different areas. Different doors are open to them. The Bible says that a door was opened unto John in the spirit realm. You with me? Now, the door that was opened unto John is not the same that was opened up to Isaiah, not the same that was opened up to Moses. That's why he sees things that these guys did not see. You with me? Okay? So he sees. Now, I'm going to call it a theory, but based on scripture. There are people who believe that these 24 elders are human beings. 12 of the apostles, all right? And 12 of the tribes. Okay? The 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob. That cannot be so. I don't believe that's so. I believe these 24 elders are not human. there are beings that existed, that God created, but they have some level of authority, and at some time in the future, it shall be revealed who they are. They can't be, for example, the apostles can't be there because John is taken up in the spirit and he sees 24 elders. If John is an apostle, his chair should be empty.
Mm.
You getting what I'm saying?
Mm.
So there are more than what people perceive in the realm of the spirit. So when we're talking, because this is coming from the point where I was explaining that the inhabitants in the spirit realm, some that we know nothing about, we just hear, okay? Mm. They're implied in scripture, the 24 elders, but we know nothing about. And I'm not going to go further to theorize on that because the experiences that I've had that we'll talk about later. But the spirit realm has inhabitants that affect this realm. Remember the last episode I explained to you that there is one natural realm and something is called natural when it can be perceived by the five senses, okay?
Mm.
Of sight, you know, smell, touch, etc. So something falls within the confines of the natural realm if it can be perceived. And I gave examples. I said the fact that you can see the sun from here means it falls within the natural realm. The fact that men landed on the moon, natural men landed on the moon, means that the moon falls within the natural realm. But there are specific aspects of the natural realm that cannot be perceived by the five senses, and yet they still fall within the natural realm. So, for example, bacteria. You can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, you can't feel it, and yet it's in the air. People, you just see its effects. Sound waves, radio waves, they are very much real, okay? But they are an invisible part of the natural realm. Now, in the same way, in the spiritual realm, while there are inhabitants like angels, demons, other beings, human spirits, there are also what I call unreal realities. These unreal realities are realities that only exist as long as men believe in them. So, if you're listening to me, you will probably be able to understand where I'm coming from when I give an example. So, if you watch movies like I used to love horror movies, okay? Thrillers and so on and so forth. If you've watched Jason X, Freddy Krueger, let's go away from that. Let's talk about folklore. There are cultures on the face of this earth that have folklore, traditions of werewolves, fairies.
Mm.
You with me?
Yep.
Dragons, vampires. All these things did not just pop out of nowhere. Okay, I have to go slow so that I explain this in a way that people will understand it. When you watch a movie, if you watch a movie, a horror movie, and there's a headless guy chasing people, and you're afraid, after you watch that movie, what most people don't realize is that there's music, there are videos, there are things. When you involve yourself in them, they create spiritual atmospheres. So there are movies that you watch, they awaken your spiritual senses, whether you know it or not.
Mm.
Okay? So that being that you've watched in the television ceases to be just a being in the television. When you go to sleep at night, when you go to sleep that night, before even you go to sleep, you start to see beings that you are not seeing. You thought there's someone in the corner of your eye. You thought there's something that you heard. Okay? At first, you think it's your imagination. When you go to sleep, that same being comes for you. That is what I call an unreal reality. Because you've believed so much in what has been created for you in the television, okay, it becomes real to you. That being can scratch you, touch you, and the more you believe in him, He ceases just to appear in dreams. He can actually appear to you physically. I can assure you there are people out there, you go on the internet, people who assure you they've seen goblins. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain, because some of these things are not just unreal realities. They're not temporary. They're real. Okay? But I'm talking about unreal realities, things that have been drawn from something you watched or listened to or something you heard. Okay? Out there, there could be an entire village that believes in a headless man that haunts the city. And as long as those people believe in that being, he exists. He only exists as long as they believe in him. Because belief and fear is what gives that being presence and manifestation.
Mm.
Are you with me? You're with me? Okay? So, let's say you moved to a city where people believe in a headless man walking around, and you say, this is total nonsense. Okay? And let's say, even if you don't believe in it, that being shows up to you. If it's something new to you and you're steadfast in the fact that this is total nonsense, all right? If that being tried to touch you, he wouldn't be able to. If you try to touch him, your hand will just pass through. Because what he needs is your belief to be manifested from a physical perspective. And if you brought another person who believed in it truly, in his dreams it would appear, scratch him, touch him, throw him around, because it only exists as long as he believes in it. Now, that's an aspect of realities that exist as long as people believe in them. But then there are realities that exist because some people were taken to the spirit realm, saw them there, and brought them here. Okay? So these things that you see in movies, vampires, werewolves, goblins, someone with a random imagination did not just come up with that stuff. Remember, in order for things to be released here on earth, a spirit has to initially have appeared to an original person who releases it. That's why Hollywood is in another level when it comes to witchcraft and spiritualism. Are you with me?
Mm.
Okay, so I don't want to make this dark all of a sudden, but I'm trying to explain the reality of the spirit realm so people can know. Because you see, there is an age-old war that has been fought from the beginning of time. A war between light and darkness. Okay?
Mm.
Between good and bad. Between life and death. Now, if you read Revelations 12, in Revelations 12, the Bible says that there was war in the heavens between the serpent and Michael and his angels. Mm. Now, here's my question to you. If there's war in the spirit realm, even the book of Daniel shows us that there was war in the spirit realm, or there is war in the spirit realm, even up to now. If there is war, and spirits can't die, what is that war over? Are you with me? Spirits are eternal beings. Right? What is that war over? I'm going to submit to you that it's over two things. Specifically in relation to earth, that war is over souls.
True.
And later we shall touch on it. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the commerce of souls, the merchandise of souls. There's a trade of souls here on earth.
Mm.
Okay? That's first. Secondly, it's a battle over territory. Okay? Not just in relation to earth, but over all the regions of the realm of the spirit. Ultimately, when this battle, actually it has been won. The moment Christ died on the cross, it was won. Now we're waiting for the official announcement. But you see, when all things have culminated into their fulfillment, the devil and his angels, plus all those who did not believe in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, their territory will be limited to one area, the lake of fire. Okay? Now, there's a difference between the lake of fire and hell. Hell is a keeping place. The lake of fire is the final destination, according to scripture. Oh, oh my God. Okay, I want to touch some things quickly because I've been wandering from here to there, but I want to touch a number of things quickly, and then we can also. So we're talking about the realities in the spirit realm. Remember in the previous episode, I gave an example of a building, and I said that there are barriers in the realm of the spirit, and to cross from one authority to the next, you can't just cross. Okay? There are two ways in which a man's authority can grow. I'm going to say two major ways. One is sacrifice. Okay? I often laugh at Christians. Let's say you want to be a millionaire or a billionaire. Okay? The Bible does talk about sowing and reaping. And you take 5,000 Ugandan shillings, or let me say you take $1, and you sow it to become a billionaire. Somewhere out there is someone in the occult killing a person to get power. And you think $1 is going to get you? No. And I'm not just talking about finances, please. It's not just about finances. I'm talking about sacrifices in its various capacities. Okay? You can sacrifice time and so many other things. So, in other words, the magnitude of where you have to go or where you want to go has to be reciprocated by the seed that you're sowing. Not in terms of its capacity, but in terms of its magnitude to you. That's why Jesus said the woman with a coin had given in much more. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? So there are authorities in the realm of the spirit, and we're going to touch this because, let me assure you, there are certain barriers in the spirit, there are certain levels of authority a man can never reach unless they've had an encounter. A real encounter. There are people on this earth who have faithfully walked with God, read their Bibles, prayed, and they have some degree of authority. In fact, every Christian has some level of authority. But the levels of authority you can never enter unless a being appears to you. We're going to touch that sometime. Because look at Moses. Look at the people with authority in the Bible. Moses. Elijah. The Bible says, Elijah says, I'm Elijah that stands in the presence of God. He's not talking in theory. That man would stand in the presence of God. Okay? Job said, my ear had heard of you. Now my eye had seen you. You understand? There are realms a man can never enter. Realms of authority. Unless they've had an encounter with a spirit. With an immortal being. You with me? So look at men of authority here on this earth. They've encountered. That's why the Bible says, find a man. Remember the first thing I said. If you want to go in authority, first you sacrifice. The second thing is you have to be diligent. The Bible says, find a man who is diligent in all his ways. He will stand before kings. Now that scripture is not just referring to natural kings. It's referring there are kings, there are dignitaries in the spirit. That if you're diligent in all your ways, you find yourself standing before them. That's why Elijah says, I am Elijah that standeth in the presence of God. Are you with me? Okay? So you have to be diligent. How badly do you want it? How badly do you want to walk with God? There are realms you can never enter. Realms of authority you can never enter unless you take them seriously. Now remember when I was talking about unreal realities? The reason why I brought that up is because just like you can watch Freddy Krueger, Jason X, and they appear to you and they only exist, they can't harm you. They only exist as long as you believe in them. Death is an unreal reality. It ceased to be real. The Bible says now, someone's going to say, what are you talking about? Death is not real. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:55. You have it there? 1 Corinthians 15:55.
1 Corinthians 15:55. Mm. It says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed.
Okay, go on. Read. Okay. Now, if you go on to scripture, it says, verse 56, 57, 58, 58, I think is the one that went, that says, O death, where is thy victory? O grave. Okay? Yes. Now, if you know that scripture, if you begin to realize it, it says, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? Okay. Death is a transition. The power that it had before Christ died on the cross, it no longer has. It's an unreal reality. As long as you're listening to me, listen to me carefully. No man should fear death. First of all, on one level, death is a transition. The moment people leave this earth, okay? Mm-hmm. Can I use an example? I don't know how much time we have, but we'll touch it. There was a person whose testimony I had, a very powerful testimony. His daughter went on a... was on a plane and they were heading somewhere. And this plane malfunctioned and began to dive. And it crashed. Now, there were about 12 people on this plane. Surprisingly, everyone survived except for this man's daughter. Okay? Now, when he was giving this testimony, he said, they were heading for a mission somewhere. And on the plane, they were praying. Okay? They were praying in tongues, singing songs to God. And they were standing up and praying. All of a sudden, the plane gets this malfunction and it begins to dive. Now, people began to scream and so on and so forth. And one of the guys who was on the plane told the father that while we were screaming, your daughter continued to pray in tongues. And before there was an impact, she fell and slumped on the chair, motionless. And then he said, I believe she died before the impact. Mm. Or her spirit was taken before the impact. And when I had that testimony, I began to realize that it's actually true for people who, loved ones who get into car accidents, plane crashes, sudden things, that it's very possible they don't feel the pain at that moment. One moment they're here, in another moment, they're in the presence of the Lord. Death, in its true sense, to the Christian, is not a reality. It's an unreal reality on that level. Secondly, death is an unreal reality in the sense that it is possible for a man, the Bible says that we shall not all die, but in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, okay? You shall be caught up. It talks about the rapture. So there are people who will not see death. Thirdly, death is an unreal reality in the sense that a man can live on this earth and not die. Rapture or no rapture? Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay, I want to touch one more thing and then we'll wind up with this. I want to touch one more thing. There's so many things I could have touched, but I want to touch one more thing. Remember when we were talking about... last time we were talking about dimensions. Mm. And I'm talking about the reality of the spirit realm. I want you to understand. I want you to imagine. Try to describe a two-dimensional world to a three-dimensional being. Okay. Actually, put it the other way around. Try to describe a three-dimensional world to a two-dimensional being. So, you know, we used to watch Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry, despite how it was drawn, is two-dimensional. Okay? Mm. Now, Shrek is three-dimensional. Shrek the cartoon. Mm. Okay? It's three-dimensional. If you try to describe to Tom and Jerry Shrek from a three-dimensional perspective, it would be hard to grasp it because the best they know is the two-dimensional world. Now, it's like trying to describe a cube to a two-dimensional being. The best way to describe a cube would be to get that cube, unwrap it until it's in form of a cross. You understand? Mm. then it becomes two-dimensional. That's when that being in two-dimensional world will understand, okay, so this is what a cube looks like. Now, in the same way, these beings that appear to people, these beings that come from the spirit realm, when they enter this world, they are condensed into our kind of dimension. They are condensed into our kind of dimension. So there's a difference between an angel appearing in your world and you going to that world. The things you see, the things you experience are totally different. That's why some people will say, I saw Jesus and he was just human. He appeared to me, says, I love you. Most likely, he came from that world into this one. But you see Jesus in that realm. You talk to John in the Bible. The Bible says he saw him and he began to shake. So when you understand these things, as I wind up, when you understand these things, you begin to realize that in the same way, there are many scriptures that we like that we only look at in one angle. Huh? That's why if you look through scripture, the Bible says, Paul said, the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. What he meant was if you read the Bible like a storybook, only as it's presented, you miss the real thing. Read for me finally, Psalms 12 verse 6.
Psalm 12 verse 6. And the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in crucible, like gold refined seven times.
Okay. Now when the Jews read this scripture, I loved it. Because what they were saying, the revelation they got from this was that every scripture in the Bible is refined seven times. That means it has seven levels of revelation. Minimum. So if you read a scripture that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and you just, straightforward, I can assure you, there are minimum seven levels of revelation in scripture. And that's why I'm telling you this, that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. There, if you want to see things beyond this dimension, if you want to understand things beyond the way, because the Bible, the way it was written, has been condensed to our dimension. Okay? If you want to understand things that in the dimensions above, you must learn to open yourself up and read things according to the Spirit, as the Bible says. All right, now we're going to have some few questions from my audience here in the studio. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi. Today I just have one question. And from what you've shared, what I've picked out is the beat of languages in the spirit realm. Now, my question is, language in the spirit realm, because you said language was primarily meant for creation, okay? And my understanding is language is not just speech. Language is not just what we can hear. Language can also be the way we are thinking, what we perceive, okay? It's intangible. It's not verbal. It's not speech. Because I have experiences where there are things that I've thought about, things that I've perceived, and they've come to be in the physical. So I just wanted you to throw more light on that, to help us understand that language is not just speech, but if it's anything that contributes to creation, that contributes to bringing something from the spirit realm to the physical, that counts as language, and it doesn't have to be speech only.
All right. And Eric, along with that?
Thank you, Rabbi. Now, from the dimension of the languages, already said, picking it from, I know all these languages come from God, I take so. But then my question is, what's the dimension of that language of the Father of Spirits? You know, what's that? Because we say he's given us tongues on the day of Pentecost, and you know, people use that, but I also realize, sadly, on a larger part, even for most people, where we stop at is just, you know, more like say it out, mama, put that out all in there, but even the bit of maybe say the interpretations to it and the deeper dimensions of the communication where, you know, for us it really becomes, you know.
Okay. Yeah. Since the questions are linked, I'm going to say this. that, because he's asking what is the language of God.
Yeah.
The spirit realm has various languages. And the examples I gave an example in the session that we've just had, that Daniel read a language, okay, and interpreted it, where soothsayers and magicians could not. That means that language's origin was not this earth.
Mm.
Now, what does that say about Daniel? It means he must have been in that realm. Mm. He must have been accustomed to it to understand its language.
Mm.
So, on a certain plane, the spirit realm has a language of its own that you need to understand. Secondly, there are tongues. The Bible talks about tongues of men, tongues of angels. Okay? Then there's another category, unknown tongues.
Okay.
All right? Then God can speak in signs, symbols. To answer your question, yes, thoughts. Okay? Your thoughts, God can implant, can put thoughts in your mind. But even before God even speaks to you, you have the capacity to speak to creation, absent of speech. There's a way to communicate to the blind, a way to communicate to the deaf. Okay? You can. Do you know that demons have the capacity for telepathy? They can implant a thought in your head and you think it's your thought. That's why the Bible says we bring to captive every imagination and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ Jesus. You understand? They can. That's why you need to be careful. You need to be careful. They can implant their thoughts there. So the spirit realm has its language. And I just want to touch on this because I was explaining that there's what I call the science of spirituality. There's a spirituality of physics, spirituality of mathematics, geometry. All those have spiritual aspects to them, all the subjects that we knew. All right? Now, the universe itself, even the spirit realm, there's science kind of speaks a language. That's why men who study science can kind of understand the functioning of the universe. Because science is a form of speech, but a lower form. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? So, for example, shapes have speech. There's a way they communicate. People of the occult use shapes in a way most of us do not use. So, for example, you were telling me about what's the movie?
Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange. Triangles mean more than triangles. They have a trinity aspect. All over the world, the major aspect, there's the trinity of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Trinity of the cosmos. Okay? Sun, moon, and stars. Okay? Trinity of the body, spirit, soul. Trinity, I could go on. Trinity of the temple, outer, inner, holy of holies. Okay? The world is filled with trinities, threes. Okay? There's a connection. The occult can use a triangle, which stands for that's why three is important as a number. Okay? The circle stands for eternity. Never ending. Okay? And then in the Bible, geometry. I was explaining that there are shapes that are divine to the Lord, that are important to the Lord. The spiral. In 1 Kings chapter 6, when Solomon was told to build the temple, he built it with a winding spiral. When Jacob went to sleep that night, people think that when he saw angels ascending and descending, they were ascending and descending upon a ladder form. No, it was a spiral. I can assure you it's spiral.
Wow.
The universe is spiral. Are you with me? Now, quickly, because I was saying science is a language and I promise we're going to go deep in this. But deeper than science or physics and so on, there is the language of art. Much deeper than science. Because while science has to do with functionality, art has to do with the soul, the emotion of things. That's why I tell you, there's a spirituality in history, there's spirituality in art, spirituality in music. The Psalms once spoken, the Psalms in the Bible, they were sung. So when you read through them, please remember that they are songs, not just someone speaking. And you see, rarely will you find poetry is spiritual. You will never find poetry in the world of the demonic. That kind of deep poetry that attaches, because poetry has a strong link to love. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay? So All these play a different role. Science is a language. Art is a language. All these are languages. Oh my God. Have you ever noticed that the what we call spiritual cycles in the realm of the spirit, your life has patterns. They're sequential patterns. At 7 years old, I had my first ever introduction to, like, my first introduction to God. Because we used to pray as children and so on, but one time I knelt down at 7 years old, I'll never forget, and I prayed to a God that I did not know. It was my first real personal introduction to God. At the age, 7 years later, I gave my life to Christ. Okay?
Mm.
7 years after that, I started ministry. Okay?
Mm.
So, my cycles are in sevens. Now, people's lives have spiritual cycles. They don't have to be seven.
True.
Moses' spiritual cycle. Huh? Moses had a spiritual cycle, 40, 40, 40. At 40 years, he encounters God. 40 years takes the people after 40 years in the wilderness, he goes back and gets those people out of the wilderness. So he spent 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the wilderness before taking the people out of Egypt. Then 40 years, again, that's the cycle. So he was 120 years old. There are sequential patterns. Then there are non-sequential patterns. There, in the sense that there are things that happen that they seem to be happening randomly, but they have the same influence on you. For example, water. There are people I know. I myself, whenever I go to shower, I feel the presence of the Lord. I will sing, I'll get revelations from the bathroom. Okay? Water. If you read through the Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and remembered Zion. It's not by chance that they're near water. Ezekiel chapter 1, he says, I was by the river and the Lord appeared to me. Okay? John was on the island of Patmos, surrounded by water.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
So I'm trying to show you non-sequential patterns of how God speaks.
Yes, sir.
You just need to learn patterns.
Yes,
praise
sir.
The Lord. I promise you I'm going to touch this deeper.
Amen.
Next time, God bless you guys. Remember, the spirit realm is as real as you can imagine. It touches, you feel it, you experience it. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the RDM podcast. Join us next time to discover more secrets, dimensions, and depth. To find out more about Rabbi Daniel Malinga Ministries, please visit www.rabbidanielmalinga.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram @RabbiDanielMalinga.